Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. You are the end. Good morning, 7:07. Great to have you with us on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill here weekdays 6 till 8, where we seek to create an informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful program. Let's get something hopeful on navigating this new terrain that's been put into place in the aftermath of President Barack Obama issuing yet another executive order to employers around the country. Joining us to talk about it, Dr. Barrett Duke. He is the Vice President of Public Policy and Research with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. I remind you that the Southern Baptist Convention, of course, is the largest evangelical Christian denomination of churches in the United States. Dr. Duke, welcome to the Faith Radio Network. Thanks very much for joining us.
How are you today?
I'm good, sir. President Barack Obama, in absence of legislative action with the United States Congress, he issued an executive order mandating certain things to employers. Give us your read on that. How does that appear to you?
I think basically what happened is the way you described it. The president was not able to advance the agenda of the liberal sexualized community through legislative action. So he decided to do as much as he could with the stroke of a pen. And what he did was he basically prohibited any kind of discrimination in the federal workforce on the basis of gender identity. It was already protected. They were already protected on the basis of sexual orientation. So he added gender identity, which is an even more nebulous concept. But then he also extended those protections to the LGBTQ community in federal contracting as well. So anyone who has a contract with the federal government, probably even subcontracting with the federal government, will not be able to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity.
Now, there are different stages, and you've listed off two of them. There's different categories or stages of doing business with the federal government. I'll use this as an illustration, just hypothetically. Let's say I'm a pastor of a small church, and we have some sort of soup kitchen, a kitchen or food service to the poor in our community. We may be contractors or subcontractors with the federal government agency and receive federal funds to enable that ministry to happen. We also might be working off of a grant. So there's receiving a grant, there's being a contractor, there's being a subcontractor with the federal government. All of those have different legal implications. But if I'm receiving a grant or if I'm a direct contractor with the federal government, Dr. Duke, am I subject to these mandates from the president when it comes to who I employ?
At this point, from what we can tell, now how this executive order is ultimately interpreted by the federal government is yet to be seen. But at this point, the prohibition applies to people who are in a contract relationship with the federal government, not people who get grants. So at this time, from what we can tell, and from what we can tell, most of the faith community that's involved in providing certain services to the community that they use federal dollars for, they get those through grants. So at this point, as far as we can tell, somebody getting a grant would not be affected. But if you're in a contract relationship, or if you're a person of faith who has a business and you're trying to run that business based on your particular faith positions, and you were in a contract relationship with the federal government, you would not be able to do anything that suggests discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity.
Dr. Barrett Duke, he's the Vice President of Public Policy and Research with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. It's now 7:14. Dr. Duke, I try to see these kinds of matters from the vantage point of the small business owner, and I think some of the same concerns apply to local churches and particularly smaller churches. And that is simply this. You've noted, and I've talked with other policy experts who said the exact same thing that you're articulating. We just don't know how the federal government will seek to apply or enforce this new executive order by the president. The reality is, for the small business owner, and I think probably for a small church as well, all it takes is a claim being made by the federal government. You know, we get a call from an attorney at the Department of Justice or the Department of Labor or what have you saying, we have reason to believe that you may have done this wrong or you may be in violation of that policy. And that begins an investigation, and the small business owner or the nonprofit ministry operator has to hire an attorney and start paying legal bills to defend themselves. That's how it works, I think, anyway, with small business owners. And is that a concern for local churches and small nonprofit Christian organizations? All you need to do is have a federal agency raise a flag and say, oops, we think we have a problem. And you've got mounting legal bills to defend yourself. Is that accurate, would you say?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think the implications are huge here for religious freedom. It's likely that this will have a chilling effect, if nothing else, across the faith community as it's trying to figure out whether or not it wants to get into a certain community service activities that would involve federal dollars. We raised this concern even in the Bush years when President Bush was promoting his faith-based initiatives program that enabled faith organizations to compete for federal dollars to provide services in the community, because we never felt like the guidance on who could qualify or who couldn't qualify or what might ultimately be required of you once you take those federal dollars were really established well enough. And our concern was at any point the new administration could come along and say, okay, now you're taking these federal dollars. These are the new requirements we place on you if you want to continue to get the federal dollars. And then these ministries are basically in a position where they're having to say, okay, we stop taking the federal dollars, we put people out on the streets, or we compromise on our convictions in order to continue to serve people. And the result is that their own religious liberty is compromised in order for them to continue to provide these services. We think that's an inappropriate. In fact, we believe it's a violation of their religious freedom protections under the Constitution to be put in a position like that.
Dr. Barrett Duke with the Southern Baptist Convention. We'll continue with him in just moments. 7:16. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. On the Faith Radio Network, I'm Austin Hill. My guest is Dr. Barrett Duke. He is the Vice President of Public Policy and Research with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. We're talking about the implications of President Barack Obama's executive order just a few days ago, mandating certain kinds of things when it comes to employment of people in government agencies and organizations that contract with the U.S. federal government. And Dr. Duke, you were saying a moment ago you think the implications of this executive order, while not expressly and explicitly or directly labeled or aimed at Christian organizations, you said you think the implications long-term are huge. We just don't know where that's going. What is the Southern Baptist Convention doing to prepare for this, I guess, this brave new world that we've entered into?
Well, we're certainly making sure that we do everything we can to convince the House of Representatives not to pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act that for the first time in this Congress was passed by the Senate. So we're doing everything we can to keep that from happening and turning this into a national law. We're also in constant communication with the White House and the administration, just doing everything we can to see to it that they provide protections for people of faith. It's clear they don't really want to provide those protections. We can be glad that the president didn't also extend this to churches and religious groups in terms of who they hire. President Bush had protected the ability of faith groups to hire within their faith tradition, and fortunately, President Obama left that alone. However, it's yet to be seen what exactly that means. It could mean that you can hire somebody within your faith tradition, but not necessarily someone who shares your core convictions within your faith community. For example, somebody might identify as a Southern Baptist, but they may have homosexual orientation. It's possible that the way this is written at this point is that a religious organization would be able to hire only Southern Baptists, but they might not be able to hire Southern Baptists who share their biblical values. So,
sure. I might go to your church, but completely ignore your theology, is what you're saying.
That's right. That's right. You can hire based on religious affiliation, but not necessarily based on religious fidelity.
Mm-hmm. What do you advise people outside of the Southern Baptist Convention to be doing at this point?
They need to be doing the same thing. They need to, first of all, look at whether or not they are receiving federal funds and the way in which they're receiving those. If they are receiving those funds through a contract relationship, they need to consider whether or not this new executive order is regarding how they move forward in terms of federal contracting. I think if they're receiving federal grants, they need to watch very carefully and pay close attention as this executive order actually is worked out and the various agencies determine just exactly what this means, whether or not they may eventually include federal grantees in that as well.
Dr. Duke, as I'm listening to you enlighten us about this, I'm reminded of a couple of scenarios that I saw happen back in the 90s. You may recall some of this, but they involved Catholic parishes and Catholic social service groups. Back in the early 90s, there was a big push by the city of San Francisco to get Catholic homeless shelters to take the cross off the wall and to not talk about the church or scripture, not to pray in the name of Jesus and those kinds of things. And the Catholic diocese in San Francisco finally said, look, if you push this on us, we will stop taking your city money, and if necessary, we'll just close down the homeless shelter. And the Catholic Church fought back, and they were able to fight off that push towards secularism from the city of San Francisco. That was just one municipality. Later in, it was either late 90s or early last decade, we saw something extraordinary happen in the state of Massachusetts, where they were trying to push and force Catholic adoption services to adopt children out to same-sex couples. And the Catholic Church finally said, you know, we can't comply with this. We're no longer going to be in the business of getting children adopted. Yep. So in that case, the government agenda won out. Where are we headed in America, whether we're Baptist or not? Where are we headed in the United States of America, as you see it right now, as it regards our religious liberties and our ability to be the hands and feet of Jesus, if you will, and provide these kinds of social services? Where do you see this going?
You know, I think that we're not there yet. I think that's being worked out at this time in this country, exactly whether or not people of faith and faith communities are going to be able to operate according to their convictions in the public square. There is significant pressure from secularists at this point basically to push people of faith and faith organizations out of the public square and basically simply confine them to the walls of their church buildings. If they win, society will suffer. The faith community provides numerous benefits to the community, oftentimes at a fraction of the cost, and with actually a lot more success then secular organizations are able to do that. But at this point, I think that we're in the middle of that struggle to determine just exactly what the American people are willing to say, or where American people, the American people are willing to say faith communities can operate. It's a difficult place right now in time for not only churches, but religiously affiliated organizations as well. And people of faith need to make sure they stay in touch with their legislators and their local folks as well, policymakers, so that they protect themselves and their local communities from being pushed out of the public square.
Dr. Bear Duke with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Duke, thanks for what you do. Thanks for joining us. 7:26, this is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Our program continues momentarily. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.